It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back to the table. So glad you could join us for our Bible study segment. We're back with Connie Stanfill, and Connie is here with day five. And Connie, thanks so much for joining us once again. This study has been great so far.
Oh, it's my privilege.
Glad to have you. What are we studying today?
Well, we're going to do the last bit of chapter one of Habakkuk. And we already had that first cycle of Habakkuk's complaint to God and God's answer. And then God's answer to Habakkuk made him have more questions, actually. And it's going to be interesting, though, because we really see that Habakkuk is a man of faith, because he starts out with remembering who God is. He knows God. And so that's going to help him frame up what he says. And so here in chapter 1, verse 12, Habakkuk then replies to the Lord, and he says, "Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have ordained them as a judgment, and you, O Rock, have established them for reproof. You who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he?" And so again, here Habakkuk is remembering the Lord is God. Remember, we talked about how Lord means the great I Am, Yahweh, that covenant-keeping God. God is faithful. Habakkuk knows God's promises in the Old Testament. And so even when he says, we shall not die, he knows God is true to his word and that Judah will not be completely destroyed. He knows that. But he also is talking about remembering in his head again who God is. And when he says, "You are who are from everlasting," God is eternal. We can go to Psalm 90 and see what God says about being eternal. And that's what he's holding on to. And actually, that's the same for us today, too, is we hold on to the God, the eternal one. So I'm reading Psalm 90, verse 2, which says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." And so if we're going to hold on to something, the eternal God is a really good place, and actually the only place to hold on to. And then Hebrews speaks of much the same, and talking about the eternal God, and really it's reminding us that Jesus Christ is God and he's eternal. And so in him, in his salvation, we hold also. And so I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 to 12. And that says, "And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will never end." Remember, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so even like in Habakkuk's day where things were falling apart and crazy, we hold on to the Lord. So we've talked about how God is everlasting, and we've talked about how he's the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Yahweh, the covenant name from Exodus 3:14. Then Habakkuk also says, he calls him my Holy One, and he understands God is holy, meaning God is completely separate and other, and also God is God, and even if we act in righteousness and purity, we are not God. He is transcendent, and so it reminds me of Isaiah 6 verse 3, where Isaiah first saw that vision of the Lord, and it was holy, holy, holy. And it's also in Revelation, the same thing. Revelation 4:8, we say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And so Habakkuk knows this God does not tolerate sin, cannot look on sin. And he's going to say that in just a minute when he says, "You have purer eyes than to see evil." And so he knows that Judah's evil is being judged, but he also knows, in some sense, that Babylon's evil will have to be judged. And then finally, he also calls God the Rock, and that's such a beautiful name of God for the people of Israel, because in Deuteronomy, so many times he's called their Rock. I'm thinking of Deuteronomy 32:4 and Psalm 18:2, and David in so many Psalms called the Lord his Rock and his fortress. And so, again, who do we hold on to in the crazy times? It's the Lord. But going back to in Habakkuk here, where he's talking about the Lord, "You who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong," he says, "Why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up a man more righteous than he?" And really Habakkuk's question is, Lord, why are you using the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, who are really, really wicked, to punish Judah? And Habakkuk knows that Judah deserves punishment, but he's asking God, why are you using such a terrible, terrible, evil people to do it? And, you know, we're going to get God's answer in a short time. But this is another one of those words that is repeated in Habakkuk. Here, Habakkuk is asking God why you are silent. And then when we come to chapter 2 and read verse 220, the whole earth is going to be silent before the Lord. Because at some point, our questions are silenced by God and who he is. But we're going to now look at the rest of chapter 1, the ending part. And it's really going to be a description of what is going on in Habakkuk's world with those fierce Chaldeans and how they treat people. And again, we're going to also see that in their pride and in their might and in their success and what they worship, their downfall is already predicted. So, verse 14, Habakkuk writes, "You who make mankind like the fish of the sea, like crawling things that have no ruler." And again, it's poetic language, but really what he's probably trying to say is that it appears right now the way the Chaldeans are overtaking and ruling people, it's like there's no ruler, there's no right, there's no justice. And so Habakkuk's wondering how long they're going to be allowed to act like they do. And then verse 15 is definitely talking about the army, the Babylonian army, the Chaldeans. It says, he brings all of them up with a hook. He drags them out with his net. He gathers them in his dragnet. So he rejoices and is glad. And so we're learning that really there's no way to escape from this invading horde, and they're very successful. And, you know, even in that day, we know that sometimes they would gather up captives and drag them away in nets and use hooks and things. And so in this fishing language is appropriate, but it's also very poetic. And then it says he gathers them in his dragnet, so he rejoices and glad. And this is such an evil group of people that they delight in their oppression of others. And, you know, they worship the means of their success. And they are so, I mean, Habakkuk is right, they are evil. And they do not know God in any way, shape, or form. Verse 18 then, or 16 then, he goes on and he says, "Therefore he sacrifices to his net and makes offerings to his dragnet. For by them he lives in luxury and his food is rich." And really what he's doing, I think Habakkuk is telling us that the Babylonians worship their military success, and they actually, in a sense, worship themselves. They thought they were invincible, and so they could continue to do whatever they want and destroy people and animals and the earth and buildings, and just the gods they made them want more. And in a sense, it's a speaking to what happens when men worship something other than the one true God. It always leads to them not being satisfied and wanting more. And it is funny because they kept conquering the known world of that time, and they weren't satisfied. They always had to go get another city and have another area. Interestingly enough, we also know that they completely subdued Egypt, and Egypt just had to stay in its own little area. It couldn't expand outward anymore, although they weren't able to conquer Egypt, the land itself. Okay, so now I'm going to read verse 17, the last verse for today, and it says, "Is he then to keep on emptying his net and mercilessly killing nations forever?" And so that's Habakkuk's question. It's like, Lord, is he going to be allowed? Is Babylon going to be allowed to conquer and do great evil and hurt people and oppress people always? And really the question to God is, Lord, when? When are you going to stop this? Will this go on forever? Will this greedy nation that conquers people be allowed to do evil always? And then we're going to see what God's response is tomorrow when we study the next part.
I am so excited to see what God says. I find it very interesting that the tone of Habakkuk changed quite a bit from his first question of complaint when he finally realizes who he's dealing with is the Almighty God.
It does. It definitely, his dialogue with God changed him. And it reminds me of the book of Job, because Job had so many questions. And then in the end, Job came to understand God is God, and I need to be quiet.
And it's also interesting, I find, that throughout biblical history, God uses evil. He uses evil men to accomplish his purposes of judgment.
That is true, yeah. But then again, we also know God is completely sovereign over all things, and so there was a limit to what God would allow.
I'm very excited to see what God's answer is. And ladies, if you've read ahead, you know what it is. But you'll want to download today's Bible study questions. We've got quite a few more verses for you to look at to really enrich your study of what you've heard here today. You know, in these Bible studies, we barely scratch the surface of the rich, beautiful truths. And Connie has put together some great Bible study questions for you. Some other verses that you will want to bring in. You can find all of those at our website at naomistable.com. Just go to our Bible Studies tab and look for the Habakkuk study. You can listen to just this segment, and also I encourage you to download the notes that you'll find there. More in a minute when we come back.